Good morning. Today is Wednesday, January 7th, 2026. This hearing is for petition E-053-25. The appellant is John Hussle with parcel number 1-1698-103-0003-0001. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of the board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2025 assessment year for taxes payable 2026. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair.
Okay, this is a residential appeal. We allow a half hour for these. The appellant is not present at the moment, so I'll read from his petition. He just simply says, I can't see how my land value can increase 67% in 1 year. He provides no evidence. To support his statement. So with that, I guess we'll move to the assessor.
Yes, the assessor's determination of value is $425,360 with an effective age or effective date of January 1st, 2025. To address the appellant's concerns, the property was in active revaluation. And so the prior land value of $60,000 was established in the last revaluation cycle 6 years ago, and the market's changed quite a bit. The assessor's office determination of value, to support that, we provided the evidence packet, and we recommend that the board sustain the assessed value.
Okay, let me look here. So it's about 3/10 of an acre. Am I reading that right? 3036. And so,
yes.
Okay. So, yeah. So I see, well, there's not exactly that, but I see one in West Richmond for 0.31 acres sold for 90,000. One sold for 0.29 at 162,750. Yeah. So it's all around in that area. Yeah.
Okay, well, so one big factor that I don't sure the appellant understands is that he got the 6 year jump. It's not just
right. Yeah, I'm surprised. I thought you guys were trying to avoid that.
With the land, no, we establish the land once every 6 years.
And oh, okay, it's just the land. So okay.
The improvement value versus last year, improvement value went down. The land value increased again because we're every 6 years we rebalance and recalculate it.
Okay, but as far as the board is concerned, we only look at the bottom line, right? I mean, that's our mandate. So doesn't appear to me that he's met his burden of proof. So
I agree.
Go ahead.
Nope, I just agree.
Oh, okay.
And I agree as well.
See three properties close in and then three a little bit further away. So is that 4, 5, and 6 that are right near his house?
Correct. In his immediate subdivision there is a lack of recent sales for two stories. So I had to expand the search to a nearby neighborhood that had two stories that were similar. and account for that location difference.
Is it a two-story or
It's a two-story.
I can't. Picture's dust. I couldn't tell if it's a tri-level or two-story. So
it's two-story.
Okay, so 4, 5, and 6 are one-stories. Is that
what 4 and 5 are one-stories because those are the only sales we had in the immediate area. 6 is a two-story, but it's a newer home. So, and again, with that being an older sale, I expanded the search to other nearby neighborhoods further down the road and accounted for a location adjustment in the land value there, you'll see. So I deducted 20 grand for that difference in the location.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, it looks like all of the comps are higher.
Yeah,
the assessed value. So
yeah, I saw that too. So okay. You guys have any questions?
Not for me.
Nope, I don't.
Okay, Jennifer, we will excuse you and we'll deliberate.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Good morning. Today is Wednesday, January 7th, 2026. This hearing is for petition E-079-25. The appellant is Sean and Veronica Scott with parcel number 1-0789-207-0004. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2025 assessment year for taxes payable 2026. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will not ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Raise your right hand. Do each of you who are here testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Hey, this is a residential hearing. We allow a half hour for these. For the first 10 minutes, we'd like to hear from the appellant, then we'll hear from the assessor. We'll may have some questions back and forth, and then we will adjourn and deliberate. So with that, Mr. Scott, you may proceed.
Okay, thank you. So I did bring some additional home sale information. I know we received the notice of change of value. The previous market value was $429,890, and the new market value is $475,310. And based on what we see in our neighborhood and think about how sales are going, we think that the value is an overvaluation for 2026. So I looked up, and then there was some back and forth through email about how the valuation was made. And so I looked up some additional data. Well, first I filed an appeal saying that we didn't think that the value change was representative of what we think the value of the house is based on a couple of properties. But then I pulled some additional property data from the Benton County Property Search website, which I have here. And I looked for houses that have sold in the last 3 years that are similar to our house. So built between 2000 and 2010 and square footage between 1700 and 2000. And then I basically just made a plot of that data, showing that there's no trend in the housing prices, which was the argument made to me, was that they had made the assessment that there was an upward trend in housing prices. And so they can say, well, over this period of time, we expect the trend to continue going up. But over the last 3 years, looking at houses of similar, you know, size and all that, there doesn't appear to be a trend. And I have a graph of that data here. If you fit a line to the data, there's a negative slope, but I wouldn't, the statistics, it's just no trend really. So basically I'm just making the argument based on this information that we don't think the change, the increase in value is true or representative of what we think the house is worth. And so I have all the information here. And so we did request that there was no change to the appraisal value. And so that's what we had requested. And then I have that information here.
Okay. So are the houses you found, are they near your house or are they just spread out all over Benton County?
They are in West Richland.
But close to your house or?
I mean, they're in, you know, they're in West Richland. I mean, I can look at, so for example, here's one, Ala Moana Way in West Richland. That's right up there. So we live on Kilauea Drive. It's like where they say the Hawaiian name streets are. So like most of these houses are at least up in that area. So here's 6400 Kilauea Drive, Ala Aloha Drive, Diamond Head Way. So these are all like directly in the same neighborhood as ours. And then,
and they sold when?
Let's see. Those were sold in 2023. I'm just looking at, here's another one in 2025. Ala Moana Way. Yeah, so they all, this is just, so Ala Moana Way, which is near us, sold in just in September 2025.
Okay. The assessment date that we're reviewing is 1/1/2025. Is that correct, Jennifer?
Yes, January 1st, 2025.
Five. Okay. So we're looking at sales that occurred before that date. As you get further into 2025, those tend to be not relevant to the assessment date.
Okay.
And I think we'll have Jennifer present next, but she's found sales of close to your home and near the assessment date. 2023 is a bit too far away, but let's hear from Jennifer and let her speak for a while.
So the assessor's determination of value is $475,310 with an effective date of January 1st, 2025. Looking at the comparable sales that we provided, they bracket the subject's age, size as well, and the subject's assessed value is falling within that estimated value range. To help clarify, that effective date of January 1st, 2025 means that, we're looking at sales that occurred just prior to that, so in the year prior, because in mass appraisal, we're reactive to the market. So where you may see some more market changes and declines and such, with the 2025 sales, we were still in the process of collecting all of those sales throughout the year. So it's not until 2026 that we'll be able to analyze that full data set in order to determine what the market adjustments are for the 2026 assessed value. Another component is that your property was in active revaluation this year. So what that just simply means is, per state law, we have to conduct physical inspections at least once every 6 years. And so we split up the whole county into six different revaluation areas. Your area in West Richland is located in revaluation area number 5. So the last time that we were out in your area was 6 years prior, and that's when we establish the land values and we conduct our physical inspections and we recalculate and revalue the properties. And those 5 subsequent years, we just change the values based off of how the market behaved in that prior year. So a lot of the changes that you saw from last year's value to this year's value, I understand it's a large increase. And we're not saying that that large increase is indicative of what happened over the course of a single year. That is just the required increase in order to bring all the homes in the area up to market value, because it had been 6 years since we last did our active revaluation in the area. So we were trailing behind the market. For instance, the 2024 assessed value for the property was $429,890. That was the 2024 assessed value. That's below the purchase price of the subject in 2022. So we were still trailing behind the 2022 sale price. And again, this change for active revaluation for the area was just to bring everybody up to that market value.
Does that make sense to you, Mr. Scott?
Yes, I do understand that. So I guess let me just paraphrase. So every 6 years, you go to a certain area and you do sort of a more detailed assessment of the value of the house. And so basically what you were doing is looking at the houses in a part, area 5, I don't remember the words, but area 5, you went there, made sure that you had brought all the houses in that area as appraisals up to what the appropriate market value should be, based on home sales from the previous year.
Correct, the 2024 sales. And so, exactly right. So the sales that I provided, this 4 sales in the area, are 2024 sales that were used in that data set to recalculate and reevaluate all the sales. This is just a snapshot of the most similar ones to your home, but we looked at all sales in the area in 2024.
Okay.
Mr. Scott, with respect to your data, are you seem to have a one-story home, is that correct?
Yeah, it's one story.
And so the sales you found, are they all one-story homes?
I didn't look at each individual house, like for like the details of each individual house.
Right, you see that? Yeah, so that's a critical element.
Okay.
And if you notice, do you have the assessor's package with you?
Yeah.
Okay. If you look at their pages 3 and 4.
Yep.
Okay. You notice they did adjustments down the way. So based on the age of the home, the square footage of the home, the size of the garage, and, you know, other factors.
Yeah, I see the adjustments.
So they made these adjustments. Now, part of what Jennifer also should tell you is part of Reval 5, they also revalue land at that point. So that's why your land went up $5,000,
mm-hmm.
because they then look at all land sales that have occurred, bare land sales, and establish a new market value for land. But as far as the board is concerned, we look at the bottom line. And so what we see is, looking at Jennifer's sales, your house falls at the low end of the range that she's provided. You have 1 below and 3 above.
I see 2 below. I'm seeing 4 comps, 2 below and 2 above.
Yep.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean.
Oh, 550. Okay, yeah, okay. So you're right in the middle of the range, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which to us is makes it a reasonable valuation.
If I may say, with mass appraisal, we're working with the statistics and looking at what is typical and trying to find that central tendency of where the values are falling. So We aim to get all the specified sales price ratios within 90 to 110%. Really within 90 to 110% is the acceptable range with mass appraisal standards, but we aim to be within 90 to 100%. So you're going to see some of those, there's going to be some of that variability there where again, we're just trying to treat everybody the same equitably. And so with that stats, we aim to be within that 90 to 100%. And for your area, we were at 95.46% of the sales for the area.
So I guess for like these comparable, these comps, like so they have this these sales prices in 2024. If my house, we purchased our house for 455 in 2022, and we're right in the middle of the range of the same types of houses that sold in 2024, that tells me that the prices aren't changing over time. That's what I interpret from that.
So there are some changes applied versus these homes. A lot of these comps here are of a lower quality. There's a Hayden subdivision that's below your subdivision. And so those have a different quality level assigned to them versus the pocket of Desert Paradise. So there's about a half a grade difference. So while your homes sold for 455 in 2022, these homes, may not have sold for what they did today as they did would have done back then. I thought I had one here. For instance, if you look at Comp 3 that I have, Comp 3, that sold in October 2020 for 343,000. The increase that we saw in the price of that it sold for in 2024 is indicating like about a 34% increase in that time frame.
Yeah, I definitely agree that the price of houses was skyrocketing in between 2020 and 2024, but by 2022, the housing prices seem to have leveled off. And that's
Right,
what we
it's leveled
saw when
off.
we, like when we bought the house, they were asking 479 and we paid 455 because it was not worth, And so I guess that's just what I'm trying to understand is like if you're projecting, or I guess, just so I understand. So the appraisal that you sent, you're saying that's the value it should be in 2025, not in 2026. Is that right?
The value that we gave you for the 2025 assessed value is what the value would have been for 2024, based off of the 2024 sales data.
Okay.
So even though this is 2026, it's a little odd, but so we're actually looking at 2024 data to establish a value as of January 1st, 2025.
Okay. So, I guess I'm also wondering, like, I guess you probably can't answer this, but it's like if we continue, like, are your appraisals going to continue to go up, even though the prices of housing are not increasing? Like, for example, I mean, I'm just looking at houses in my neighborhood that are for sale today. They're not higher than they were when we bought our house 4 years, 3.5 years ago now. So I'm sort of just I'm having a hard time understanding how the difference between, I guess, what I see in the neighborhood and what is being appraised. It just doesn't seem like they're the same thing. Like the appraisals are going up, but the prices of the houses are staying the same, if that makes sense.
So we have to, per state law, we have to value at 100% of the market value. So we are just, because we react to the market, we're delayed, right? Because we don't have the, like for instance, for the 2026 assessed values, we don't, 2026, we just started it. We're going to start looking at data, but we don't have the full data set for the entire year. So we're going to look at the year prior. So we're always chasing that market. So when there is a change in the market, like what you're seeing for 2025, this year, we're going to start looking at the sales data for 2025 to follow that trend. So typically, There's usually, in a typical market, there's usually like a slight increase over time. You know, property land basically appreciates over time. And so when we follow those trends, we're usually trailing behind. In the case for a revaluation area, yeah, we had to bring everybody up because it'd been 6 years since the revaluation. We had to catch up because there was such an unprecedented, growth in the market from the last time we had been out there, right? But if the market data shows that there is a downward trend, we will follow that trend. It's just that we're going to be a year late in doing showing that in assessed values. So we just follow the market. It's not that we continue to increase regardless of what the market does. We just, that's not the case at all. We follow with how the market behaves.
And then I guess I have one more question about the adjusted sale price on the what's I guess I don't understand what it is. It's like in the in comp one, the adjusted sale price is it's like a whatever, $280 lower than the sale price, but then in the other ones it's quite a bit higher. What is that? What is that?
Right. So not every home is exactly identical, right? There's usually some differences. So the differences that we pull out here that we outline are the key drivers in the valuation. And so in order to look at a sale of a similar home, but not perfectly identical, we need to look at what the differences are and adjust for that on that comparable sale to make it like your home. So if that one sold for $450,000, what would your home have sold for, right? So that's how we do the comparables. So it's the adjusted sales price is taking the sales price of that comparable and adjusting it to if it matched the identical characteristics of your home.
Okay, yeah, I think that makes sense.
So, for instance, if the square footage of one of the comps is lower, has fewer square footage, then they add value to that comp to make it equal to your square footage.
Okay, so
So
this.
that's why you see some positive adjustments, you see some negative adjustments.
Yeah.
They're doing every, you got to go back and look, well, how does that relate to what's on your house?
Okay.
So my own question here. So it goes down for being built in 2029, but Mr. Scott's was built in 2000 and for 2009, and it was Scott's is a little older, built in 2008.
Right, so it's a negative adjustment to make it look like it's a 2008 home.
Oh, I see. Okay, got it. Yeah.
Okay. What is what does grid class mean?
That's the quality rating. So that's
Okay.
typically based off of builders. So there's different, there's a scale, and 30 that your home is basically average. It's equivalent to average. So a typical home. And then, so based on different builders, the type of construction, the design, the characteristics of the property, building materials, things like that, footprint, just the complexity of the design really factors into that grid class rating.
Another thing I think that factors in is if they've done remodeling or made updates to the home.
Right. If someone had, let's say an older home that was, typical, but then they did a remodel and put in high-end fixtures and everything, that will add some additional value that could possibly, if it's not an over an improvement, it could increase the value by increasing the quality, the grid class rating of the home.
So, as far as this board is concerned, this is an evidentiary hearing. And so we have to weigh the evidence, that you provide against the evidence that the assessor provides. And we then decide, well, which evidence looks better?
Mm-hmm.
And we make a decision based on the evidence.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that the only evidence that I have was these data that I pulled, but I guess, you know, it would just be...
Well, we don't have that evidence. You see, all we have are the four sales that you provided on your worksheet that was provided to us as part of the petition, and those were all late 2025 sales. So, you know, we can't really use those because they're too far away from the assessment date.
Yeah. Okay. I understand that.
So that's all we have from you. That's the only evidence you have. Now, you provided testimony about other houses, but we don't have the details to be able to evaluate that. All we have is what you have here on your petition.
Is that like, so I get, so would I either at this time, can I give you like send this additional information to you, or is it like it's all done? Okay.
Yeah, it's past the date of accept, we can accept evidence.
Yeah.
Okay. You can speak to it as testimony, but without us having the ability to review it and understand that it's the same house type and square footage and, you know, the adjustments that the assessor would make, it really doesn't tell us anything.
Mm-hmm. So basically my efforts are futile is what you're telling me.
Well, you can use those efforts, you know, towards next year's petition.
Yeah.
You know, if look for houses of the same house type near the age of your house, near the square footage of your house, near the lot size of your house, other things like that. So you can just go down and look at what Jennifer suggested and try to find other houses that sold with similar characteristics.
Okay.
Also as close as possible to your house.
Right.
In distance.
Okay. Yeah, this is very helpful. I mean, I've never done this before, so I didn't really know what I was doing.
That's fine.
I appreciate the opportunity. Yeah, I mean, I'll be really interested to see for the January 1st assessment of 2026 based on the 2025.
Right. So you have 2025 data.
Right.
So you can use that and, you know, kind of, you know, make some of the kind of adjustments that Jennifer makes.
Yeah.
And you can get a sense of what it looks like. The land value, Jennifer, am I correct? The land value would stay the same for 26?
Right, land value should stay the same.
Right.
And so that 2026 assessed value postcard, the change in value, we expect those to typically go out the 1st of September. So be on the lookout for that. And I think you had mentioned that you had called in or there was some back and forth. Be sure to, we always encourage property owners to call us within that 30-day window if you have any questions.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like you've already done all your homework and, you know, we can look at that data with that 2025 sales that you've collected. We can look at that versus our data set and review everything together before we lock in the values for the year. And so if there are questions or anything that does need to be resolved, you know, we can do it then before we lock in the value. So you don't have to go through the appeal process unless we come to an impasse, right? And it's like, no, this is the date I had. This is what I think. This is what you think. We still disagree. Then you can, of course, always go through the appeal process like you did this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good advice.
Yeah,
because the assessors are really good about reconsidering when you go directly to them.
Okay. Yeah, we just want to be, you know, accurate with the property record and make sure that aligns with the sales. And a lot of times there's things about the property that we don't know about or, you know, some other information that comes to light that, you know, can affect the opinion of value.
Okay. Yeah.
So it sounds like you've done all your homework for 2026.
Yeah, so I'm ready for next year.
Ready yeah, for next right, year.
Right. Be sure to call the assessor and work with them directly.
Yeah. Okay.
And as far as the board is concerned, we only look at the bottom line. You know, because, you know, when you buy a house, you pay a price for both the land and the improvements. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the land is not broken out as part of when you buy the land. When you buy the property, land isn't broken out as a separate item.
Right.
So all we concern ourselves with is the bottom line correct? The assessor has to report to the state the two values above it. But, you know, the land is basically an assigned value based on their land research. But as far as the board is concerned, we just look at the bottom line.
Okay.
Can I have a question, George?
Go ahead, Chuck.
And I hope this doesn't come across wrong, but Mr. Scott, when I look at your petition, you bought the house for $455,000. And now your appeal says it's $25,000 less than that. Do you really believe the value of your house has gone down over those years?
Oh, I do. I don't think that we overpaid for it in the first place. And when I look at like our neighbor, like, you know, we've got like a yard and a fence. And if you look at the neighbor, like on the other side of that, they paid about a year later, they paid less than we paid for our house. And then when when I'm walking around the neighborhood, I'm seeing houses that are, you know, they're listed for 420 and they're not selling, or they're listed for 440 and they're not selling. And so I don't think that we could, like, I think we'd be very lucky to get what we paid for the house at this time. And that's why I think, like, if I were today to go and list the house at 475, let's assess that. I mean, I would be I'm kind of curious, like, what if I just did that and see what happened? Because I don't think we would even get an inquiry at that point, because the houses just aren't selling for that price in our neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. So when you bring next year's data, it has to be the sales price. We can't accept listings.
Right. Yeah.
You can't tell us, you know, it's listed at this. Well, that means nothing. We need to know what it sold for.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, the data that I put in the appeal document, those were sale prices in 2025, you know, and those are, they're just lower. And
yeah. And you also cited Zillow and Redfin, I guess, in your petition, but those really don't mean anything to us. It has to be individual house sales.
Yeah. So now I go to the Benton County Assessor website to pull the data from there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look for houses, similar house type. I mean, one story, similar square footage, similar lot size, you know, much similar as you can get and as close as possible to your house.
Right.
And we do have a worksheet now, George, that he could use those adjustments that you can make. Isn't that right, Maricel? That's ready to go.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, we have additional information on the Board of Equalization website that you can use. We've updated it this year.
Okay.
Well, we're basically out of time at this point, so we need to excuse you and we'll deliberate.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah. And they're about to kick
me out. Today is Wednesday, January 7th, 2026. The hearing is for petition E-080-25. The appellants are Charles and Juanita Whitman with parcel number 1-0498-200-0024-000. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2025 assessment year for taxes payable 2026. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove the valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Well, apparently this is an agricultural appeal, but the appellant is not present. We would allow a half hour for these. So I'll read from the appellant's petition. Property is zoned agriculture and is located within the city of Richland floodplain. Property sustained major damage in the flood of 1997 and has had water on the property numerous times over the years. Property located next door at 2724 Van Giesen Street has been on the market 6 months with no movement. And then he provided that property, but it's not a sale, so really doesn't mean anything to us. Okay, so with that, let's hear from the assessor.
Yes, the assessor's determination of value is $456,630 with an effective date of January 1st, 2025. Looking at the comparable sales, all the comps bracket the subject's age, size, and are also located on acreage lots.
Are they located in the floodplain?
Yes, so comps 3 and 6 are located in the floodplain. They're also closest in proximity to the subject. So that's comps 3 and 6. Comp 6 is also located in the same ag zone as the subject, but it's an older sale. The other properties, they're located in rural land zoning, which does permit limited ag use. And versus these sales, the subject's assessed value remains below the estimated value range. And that indicates that the 2025 assessed value is not an overvaluation.
And you said it's comps 2 and 3 that are in the floodplain?
3 and 6.
Oh, 3 and 6.
So a question, Jennifer, when you list these, are there any kind of priority order from your perspective?
Based off of, it's just based off of what's most similar. So you take into account all the different variables, the age, the size of the land, the square footage. Also, if it's an older sale, I'll automatically kick that to the end. So that comp 6 is listed last because it's an older sale. So it's going to carry less weight versus the other sales.
Yeah, great. I was thinking you did that, but I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
Jennifer, is this a one-story or two-story home?
This is a tri-level home.
Tri-level, okay.
It's a multi-level home.
Yeah, and what about your comps? How do they...
So comps... 1 and 2, they're rambers with basements. 4, comp 3 is a one story. 4 and 5, they're rambers with basements. And 6 is a 1 and 1/2 story. So being in a rural area like this, every home's unique. Tri-levels aren't prevalent. We don't have any sales for those. So I try to pull those that are close to multi-level as possible. So you have living area on, multiple levels. So rambers with basements, basement's not technically a living area, but if you have bedrooms down there, you're going to be going upstairs.
Now, was this active reval 5 also?
Yes.
So that's why the land went up so much.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, and based on the comps, it looks like he's getting a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I saw too, Peter.
So based on the comps, it's showing that he's under the range. And actually, the comparable that the appellant shared, it actually ended up selling. So he listed it as, was it 549,000 as a listing? It sold in October for 541,000. And so I was curious as to, okay, well, what if that had, what if we were able to use that sale just for context? Where does this line up with the adjusted sales price? And I came to an adjusted sales price of 564,000 for the stuff, you know, for the subject based off of the neighbor that sold, that was his comp. And that falls in range with where these comps are. So I would say it's not an overvaluation.
Okay.
I'm good with it.
Okay, and the property is similar size. This is 3.9 acres. This is 3.78 acres. So a little over about a tenth, little over a tenth of an acre difference. So, yeah. Okay.
So if anything, I would say the assessed values is a very conservative estimate.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and all your comps are above the assessed value, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I can explain it. Yeah, especially when, and presumably the his comp 2724 Van Giesen, is that in a floodplain also?
It's the next door neighbor, yeah. So it's nearly identical in terms of like the land with zoning and floodplain and all that. It's the
Okay.
next neighbor.
Excellent. Okay.
And I highlighted for you in with the land sales there, those land sales I highlighted in green, those are in the floodplain.
Oh, okay.
Looks like it. Probably get lower sales now. Which one was it, Jennifer, that you said sold?
Well, it's a 2025 sale. It was the appellant's comparable sale.
Oh,
It was
okay.
a listing at the time. It was listed for 549. It sold in October of 2025 for 541,000.
So almost the same.
So pretty similar to the comparables that we have. And when I just was curious to see where, if we I added it to the grade, what it would look like, it the adjusted sales price was about 564,000. So it was right in range with these.
Okay. Chuck, Peter, any questions?
I'm good.
Nope, I don't have any.
Okay. Well, I think we can get to a decision then. So, thank you, Jennifer. We'll excuse you now and we'll
See you
deliberate.
tomorrow.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.